So, interesting morning. Here is the sermon I worked all week on, like 4 pages. Here is the sermon the Lord woke me up and gave me at 6 o'clock this morning. So, I would say that that is pretty fresh bread. What do you think? So, my prayer is that as I share this today, that you'll be able to hear the fresh bread, because Jesus is the bread of life, you would be able to taste and see the fresh bread that Jesus has for us today. Amen? So we are in the middle of a series entitled Be Strong and Courageous. Part one, the first week, we talked about fear not. Jesus speaks to us in the midst of unexpected events in our lives. Now, none of you ever have unexpected events, but I do. Jesus shows up and says, "Do not be afraid. I am with you, and I will never leave you." That was week one. Second week, we talked about moving forward together as we each do our part, and then we ask God to do His part. When we do that, folks, we can achieve what at first seemed almost impossible. And that was the week we talked about Nehemiah and the wall that he built around the city. And I was thinking, you know, even if we picture downtown Carlisle. So downtown Carlisle has some interesting streets. They're all directions. So you can go east on north and north on east and west on south and south on west. But if you picture going across North Street to where it hits west, and then west down toward the YMCA, out South Street, and then back up east. Okay, can you picture that square? And if the job was to build a wall, north, south, east, and west. And this was not like a little wall like you'd have in your backyard for your barbecue grill. Some people think it was 8 foot thick. Other theologians think it was 16 foot thick. And some say 8 to 10 feet high. That was a wall. It was seemingly impossible. But again, as each person did their part, each ministry did their part, and then you say, God, you need to give us the strength. You need to give us the resources. You need to give us the energy. You need to give us the passion. They got it done. Okay. That was week two. So there goes the rest of that sermon. And today, we're going to be thinking about the Israelites, where they found themselves and where they were going. Because when we start a new year, we like to do that. Where have we been? Where are we presently at? And where are we going? In Exodus 33, God showed up and said to Moses, "Depart." Depart means you're not staying where you are. Depart means you're going somewhere new. Depart. Go up from here. Go up from here. They were in the desert 40 years. 40 years. So God was challenging them to change where they had been for a 40-year period. That's a long time to be someplace and God show up and say, get up, depart, and go where I'm calling you to go. He said, go to the land that I promised to give to you. So folks, God has made promises to each of you as individuals. I know He has. If you haven't heard something personally, like somebody prophetic shared with you, this is full of them, right here. God's made promises to families, and God's made promises to us as a church. Have we gotten there yet? No. But can we continue to head to the promised land? See, that's what the challenge was that God brought. And then this is what he promised. He told Moses that he would go with them. It says, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. In Exodus 40, it talked about whenever his presence settled, they settled. But whenever his presence moved, they moved. Boy, that's what I want. I don't know about you, but I want to go where God's going. If he's no longer where I'm at, then I want to catch up to him. If he's risen and moved forward and I'm still back here, I want to get there. So that's what they learned throughout their time, that when God, his visible presence, the cloud, lifted, they're like, okay, it's time to go. The cloud lifted. Okay, fold up the tents. Put on your backpacks. We're going. And then when the presence settled, they unpacked everything, stayed there until the presence moved again. They had learned how to recognize the presence of God and to follow after the presence of God. In Numbers 13, God told them to send out men to spy out the land that I am going to give you. So Moses instructed them to go and see what it was going to be like. Where were they headed? What was this land like that God had promised for them? They came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes. Single cluster of grapes. They carried it on a pole between two men with some pomegranates and figs. Numbers 13:23. I'm used to a cluster of grapes being this big. How about you? You go to Giant, you know, they have a bag of them. They want to sell you that bag for $12. I can't eat $12 in grapes. I don't know about you, so I probably do what I'm not supposed to do, but I take some out of that bag and put it in another bag so that when Jack comes up, he has a $15 bag, but my bag now is only $6.50, and I can eat $6.50 in grapes. But it says that this cluster of grapes had to be carried on a pole with two men carrying the pole. That's fruit. That's fruit. And it said, oh, and they also brought some figs and pomegranates. Well, if the grapes were that big, I mean, I don't know how big the figs and pomegranates are, but see, God has promised for us fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. All right. They returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation, and they brought back word to them and showed them this fruit of the land. They told him, we went to the land where God is sending us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. Oh, and by the way, this is the fruit. And showed them the fruit. But there were a couple things that they had to push through to get into the promised land. There were some cities. Jericho was one of those cities. There were some giants. We know about Goliath, right? So folks, what happened to Goliath? He went down. What happened to the walls of Jericho? They went down. Those of you that like to follow along, we're now in Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of whoever that is, of those who have spied out the land, tore their clothes because some of the people said, you know, I don't like the idea of fighting giants. I don't like the idea of walled cities. Maybe we'll just stay in the desert. Okay? Moses and you guys, you can go. We're not going. They spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and they said, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he'll bring us into the land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord. And do not fear. Oh, wait. I think we had a do not fear, didn't we? Do not fear the people of the land, for they are our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear. Are we getting that message? Do not fear. I am with you. I will go with you. So as we move forward into this land that God has promised us, into our promised land, as a family of God together, what does it look like? Well, a couple of verses come to mind. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Peace and joy. What's righteousness? Righteousness is right standing before God. It's right believing. It's right living. So that's part of what he's looking for. Are we living right? Are we believing right? Do we have a right standing before God? The kingdom of God is peace. I love what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to give you peace. I'm giving you my peace. Joy. Where do we get joy? In his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, wait a minute. So it's partially, again, dependent on being in and staying in his presence. Sounds like another reason to keep up with God, to go where he is going and to do what he is doing. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So his kingdom, this land that we're going into, looks like hope even when things seem hopeless. This land looks like what Jesus did. This land looks like what Jesus said. This land looks like loving those that Jesus loved, and it looks like loving in the ways that Jesus loved. He loved the poor. He loved the needy. He loved the broken. He went where they lived. He went where they worked. He went where they conducted business. He healed them. He delivered them. He forgave them. And he set them on the path of freedom. I want us to look at a few of those examples. So we're going to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. If it looks like what Jesus did and what Jesus said, what did Jesus do? Where did he go? What did he say? Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came up to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. That in itself is miraculous, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. What happened? And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. Verse 5. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came up imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. Paralyzed. Fearfully. Full of fear. Being tormented. Jesus said, sorry about that. Hope he gets better.
What? What?
Huh? Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following him, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, go, it shall be done for you just as you believe. And his servant was healed that very moment. 14 and 15. When Jesus came into Peter's house, okay, so Peter was one of his disciples, one of his followers, and Jesus sometimes went into Peter's house and stayed there and did things from his house. And it says when he entered, he saw his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick in bed with a fever. Now, ladies, I know you. When you have people show up in your house, even if you're not feeling well, you're going to be out there. So she must have felt really poorly to be in bed with a fever. What did Jesus do? Oh, well, we can get along without her. We'll just feed ourselves. Really? His compassion. His compassion. He touched her hand and the fever left her. So she laid there for a couple days and said, eventually I'll feel better. Don't you just love these stories I make up? And she got up and waited on him. What? She got up and waited on him? Do you think that was a remarkable, even a miraculous recovery? She was sick in bed. Now she's well enough to get up and serve them lunch. Remarkable. 16 and 17. So now it's evening. They ate supper. Evening came. They brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed. Who's following along? Mike? All? Jack? Are you sure? Is that really what it says? Yeah? Everyone who was ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So see, folks, this is what that promised land looks like. We just saw a day in the life of Jesus. We've had a glimpse of that. We had a glimpse of that this morning. It looks like mornings when we come in, and we come in excited for that first worship song to start. We're not waiting for the fifth song, but the very first worship song, we're excited to enter into God's presence. Why? Couple reasons. One is, we love Jesus, and we want to spend time with him. So we're excited to come in, and on that very first worship song, just to enter in and to come into his presence, and to spend time with him and to hear from him. The other reason we come with expectation and excitement and anticipation is we come with needs. Is that right? Do any of you come in with needs on Sunday mornings? Nancy, you do? It's not just me? Oh, it is you too. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. So we come expecting that when we come in His presence, that He's going to do some of these things right here. That if we come in and we say, God, I know You know the week that I just had. And my peace is gone. But You promised to give me Your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. I'm ready for that. Here I am. Amen. Or, God, this whole week felt like a battle. None of you ever have that. I know. And it was push through this and push through that. And here I am. And I don't know if you have any strength to give me. Now, hopefully you're not praying that way. I'm being facetious. But if you do have any spare, you know, if you have any extra that you can give me, I really need strengthened today. So we come in and we get filled back up. We get our peace topped off. It says, in His presence is fullness of joy. We came in sort of, no, none of you get grouchy or anything like that. Oh, I have to behave. My wife is in the sound room. So, and she's saying, I can't wait to get him there on Sunday morning. So we come in and we get in His presence, and all of a sudden that changes into, I'm really happy to be here. I'm really feeling some joy starting to rise up within. So what do we do with that? We take it out to people that don't know what we know. We walk around the streets of Harrisburg and we say, you may have never heard this, but God so loved you that He sent His Son. And because I met with Him during the week in my personal devotions, and because I came in Sunday morning and there was a terrific worship service, and because my pastor just gave a powerful word, I am ready to share with you the peace that I receive, the strength that I receive, the joy that I receive. Call somebody on the phone and they're like, oh, my week. And you're like, hey, you know what? I actually think I have something I can give them. I can pray for peace for them because I receive peace Sunday morning. See, that's a picture, a little picture of entering into this promised land, spending time in His presence. It looks like coming in here on Sunday morning, getting our knee prayed for, getting partial healing, and then go out and get complete healing. God speaks to us when we're in His presence and when we're quiet enough. Okay, that really takes a lot of work for me. Maybe some of you, you just are instantly there. But my mind is always processing and thinking about this afternoon and tomorrow. And yeah, I have to say 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now. You know. And so I have to quiet all that down. So that's why I'm the guy who shows up here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. I open everything up. I come into the sanctuary, and it takes me that long to be ready for what happens at 10 o'clock. But I get in there, and it's quiet, and I spend time with Him, and then we can hear His voice. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And He might say things like, you know, I really want to touch people today that came in with headaches. And maybe they don't have a headache this morning, but they suffer with headache. And we pray for you, or you come to the altar, or however it works that particular morning, and you give testimony. It's been a week. It's been 2 weeks. It's been 3 weeks. Okay. Let's walk into a land where it's forever. You know what? It's been so long since I've had a headache, I sort of forgot that I used to get headaches. Yes? I remember a lady coming up to the front one Sunday that we had people up for prayer, and she came up and she said, I have three parts of my body that need touch this morning. well, you're a pastor full of just all kinds of faith said, oh yeah, I'm up to the challenge. Actually, I was thinking, oh, great. So we pray for the first one, and she says, it's completely gone. Oh, let's try number two. So we pray for the second thing, and I'm like, so are you feeling any better? Yep, that second thing's gone. I'm like, whoa! Let's try the third one, right, Pastor Kurt? So we did the third one, and I almost... So how's the third one? You know, like, God only has a certain amount of healing power. So he used, you know, 25% of it up on the first one. The second one was a little harder, so he used 75. So I'm not sure he has any left for the third one. I don't know where we come up with this stuff. You know, but like he can heal a knee, but you know, a back's a little harder. So I don't know about that. Really? And she goes, they're all gone. Yay, God. That can be every Sunday morning. But were you following? Where did Jesus do these healings? I purposely picked a variety so you caught this. Was it in church on Sunday mornings? It was out there in Capernaum. It was in Peter's house. It was where they lived, where they worked, where they did business, where they shopped, in the marketplace, and he healed there. So once we become convinced that he can heal here, then that builds our faith to say, you know what? He might do it on the streets of Carlisle, or the streets of Newville, or the streets of Harrisburg. Right? So I know we're not there, but if that's part of the promised land, can we head there together? Amen. Amen. Well, I think I just finished like a page and a half, so let me see where I am and if I have any points as we draw this to a close. All right. So as pastors like to say, we are circling the airport, getting ready to land the plane. Now, some pastors have said that and it circled for 20 minutes. It's like, yeah, I don't circle for 20 minutes. But we are heading that direction. Okay. In John 10:10, Jesus said that he came to give us life and give us life abundantly. Right before that, he said the enemy tries to steal, kill, or destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. Steal, kill, or destroy. But the opposite of that is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to bring life. He wants us to have more than enough. See, if we settle for just enough, then I only have just enough hope for me to make it through the week. At least I hope I have enough to make it to Wednesday. But I don't have enough to share with anybody else. Jesus wants to give us life abundantly so that we have more than enough to share with other people. All right. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. He gives us eternal life. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So we want to keep going where he is going. He promises that we will never perish. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He says that he goes with us and he goes before us. That's why we can go there without fear. Just like he told the Israelites, yes, there's giants. Yes, there's fortified cities, but I'm going to go ahead of you and I'm going to go with you and I'm giving them to you as your prey. And he told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear. Again, he said it again. I should have counted in my concordance how many times he said, do not fear, only be strong and courageous. And then he said to him, did I not command you? Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was a suggestion when you told me the first two times. But on the third time, he makes it clear. Did I not command you, be strong and courageous? So as we enter into his promises, as we go where he's going, let's be strong and courageous and remember that together we can defeat whatever comes against us. Because he is with us. He gives us the strength. He gives us the courage. We just have to take it. We have to say, yes, you are my strength. You give me courage. And we can step into his plans and destiny for us as we move forward together. Amen? Did that seem like fresh bread? Sorry it wasn't as practiced or rehearsed as normal, because it just came at 6 o'clock and I'm here at 8. And there was just... So, but it was fresh from the oven, right? Amen. Let's stand. Well, Father, we thank you that you have good plans for us. You have good destinies for us. You have a land of promise for us. You have a land that is based on your word to us. And we know that you are true. We know that you are not a man that you should lie. We know that when you say that you came to give us life and to give us life abundantly, you meant that. And that's what you want us to apprehend. An abundant life so that we have more than enough to give to others. Your word says, freely you've received. And yes, we have. Freely we've received. Freely give. So you want us to take with us today as we leave this place the knowledge and the experience of your great love for us so that we can give that to somebody else. You want us to receive your peace so that we can share that with somebody else. You want us to have been touched and filled with joy as we came into your presence today, so that we can give that to somebody who has none and doesn't know where to get it like we do. And you want us to bring hope to the hopeless. Because that's what we saw that you did. We saw that those that were in such extreme need, they were lepers. They were tormented. They were in fear. And yet you stepped in. And you change completely their life and their situation. You brought them hope. You brought them healing. You brought them deliverance. And that's what you send us out to bring to others. So as we go today, I just hear you whispering to each of us, saying our name, and then saying, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Did I not command you, even command you, to be strong and courageous because I go ahead of you and I go with you and I will never, never, it's one of those absolutes in your word, I will never leave. So we go out today strong in that knowledge that you love us and you go with us. And that you send us out. And the people of God said, amen, amen. You are dismissed.